On today's episode, we're talking Bitcoin's doldrums, a North Korean conspiracy, and a recap of the 2019 biggest hacks of cryptocurrency exchanges. It's December 2nd, 2019, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the sector over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin is down for the third straight day, declining about 1.3% over the past 24 hours to $7,296. Ether is little changed at $149, and XRP from Ripple is off 1.1% to 22 cents. In traditional markets, there's not a ton of action. Standard & Poor's 500 futures are little changed, while the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond yield is up 5 basis points to 1.84%. Gold is down 5-tenths of a percent to $1,465 an ounce. The dollar is little changed against the euro, yen, and British pound. Brad, tell us what we're seeing in the Bitcoin market.
Well, there's no weekend in crypto, Adam, with the market open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and Bitcoin is down for the third straight day after declines both Saturday and Sunday. The latest move takes the price back to about $7,300, down about 7% from Friday. CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole reports that traders analyzing charts for price clues should see strong support for Bitcoin prices at a level around $6,850. Now, all this, Adam, sets up debate over where Bitcoin prices are headed. And at least for now, commentary appears somewhat bearish. A big question as we move toward the end of this year: what price impact the upcoming halving in May 2020 will have. Now, the halving is when the number of Bitcoin awarded per block mined on the blockchain will drop by half to 6.25 Bitcoin from 12.5, essentially making it so the computers that are confirming transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain will have to work twice as hard to get the same reward. Many analysts have speculated that this will actually drive the price higher, since Bitcoin's supply will be reduced, making incremental units more scarce. Cointelegraph reports that some indicators related to the supply of new Bitcoin suggests the halving could drive the price to $100,000. But Jason Williams, co-founder at digital asset fund Morgan Creek Digital, wrote in a tweet yesterday that he believes the halving won't have any impact on Bitcoin's price. In other words, whatever impulse that halving would have is theoretically already baked into the market. At the same time, Adam, blockchain as a technology continues to gain momentum in its use by traditional finance, which many industry observers see as a bullish trend for Bitcoin as the oldest and biggest blockchain. Forbes reported late last week that HSBC, the giant British bank, will be moving $20 billion of assets to a blockchain-based custody platform by March. These are assets in the market for private placements, essentially an off-exchange marketplace for equities that aren't sold through regulated securities offerings. HSBC expects this market will have grown by 60% in the 5 years through 2022 to $7.7 trillion. And according to Forbes, this is a vast improvement of the previous paper-based system HSBC used. And a new report from the German business publication Handelsblatt says German banks will be allowed to sell and custody crypto starting next year. For Bitcoin traders and investors, the takeaway continues to be that while this digital asset, invented by a cadre of libertarian computer programmers just 11 years ago, has seen tremendous uptake and appears to have enormous potential in the terms of its technology, the price appears to be stuck in the doldrums and possibly at a juncture. Back to you, Adam.
And now for our featured story. News broke over the U.S. Thanksgiving break that Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith, age 36, has been arrested and charged with conspiring to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which carries a maximum term of 20 years in prison. Quoting from the Southern District of New York's press release on the topic, quote, U.S. Attorney Jeffrey S. Berman stated, as alleged, Virgil Griffith provided highly technical information to North Korea, knowing that this information could be used to help North Korea launder money and evade sanctions. In allegedly doing so, Griffith jeopardized the sanctions that both Congress and the president have enacted to place maximum pressure on North Korea's dangerous regime. Assistant Attorney General John Demers said, despite receiving warnings not to go, Griffith allegedly traveled to one of the United States' foremost adversaries, North Korea, where he taught his audience how to use blockchain technology to evade sanctions. End quote. Stepping back from the specifics of the story, cryptocurrencies broadly, at least those built on distributed permissionless blockchains, are not intended to evade sanctions, but simply don't rely on, know about, or pay attention to geography or national borders. Mr. Griffith is accused of, quote, providing highly technical information to North Korea, end quote. But in reality, to use cryptocurrency in the way feared by the Southern District of New York requires little special knowledge, and what knowledge is required is available free on the open internet in dozens of languages, explained in hundreds or even thousands of ways. And if the Manhattan U.S. attorney is concerned about someone in North Korea figuring that out, they might want to take a look at the repeated, highly publicized trips to North Korea by former professional basketball player Dennis Rodman, sponsored by so-called Potcoin, a cryptocurrency intended for use by the marijuana industry that has all of those troublesome characteristics, although perhaps is not explained in the same sanction-busting terms. According to coverage by the Daily Beast, prior to the conference, Griffith allegedly exchanged messages with an associate about North Korea's potential use of cryptocurrency that appears to demonstrate that he knew the illegality of what was going on. Quote, I need to send one unit between North and South Korea, he wrote. Isn't that avoiding sanctions, his associate asked. It is, Griffith wrote, according to the complaint, end quote. As with so many other things in crypto, this story is about appearances and how just because you're right doesn't make you safe from those who wish it weren't so. Cryptocurrencies present an uncomfortable picture for modern nation states where the financial controls used to apply pressure might no longer provide the level of exclusion and isolation that they have in the past. And ironically, this shift is less about cryptocurrencies and more about the existence of any viable alternatives for sanctioned nations and their would-be trading partners at all. On Friday, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, the Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden announced in a joint statement that they are in the process of becoming shareholders of the Instrument in Support of Trading Exchanges, also known as INSTEX. INSTEX is, simply put, a method for evading sanctions, supposedly preventing trade with Iran, which does not involve cryptocurrencies in any way, and which it seems is also beyond the ability of the sanctioning bodies to stop. The reality here is that Austin Griffith faces up to 20 years in jail, not for inventing any new technology or innovation that makes something previously impossible into a likelihood, but rather for pointing out the reality which already exists is a mirage, as easily dispelled as by downloading a wallet. More on this story as it develops. And now, a spotlight on crypto exchanges, where we look at the biggest hacks of 2019.
That's right, Adam. Today, we're following on the big news from last week that the South Korean exchange Upbit was reportedly hit by a hack, resulting in the transfer of the equivalent of $49 million of the cryptocurrency Ether to an anonymous address. The exchange said that the loss didn't come from user funds, but that it has suspended all functions for at least 2 weeks. CoinDesk's John Biggs reports that while Upbit's loss is the biggest exchange hack of the year in terms of its dollar value, this is far from the first or only major hack this year at a cryptocurrency exchange. In January, the exchange Cryptopia went dark on January 15th after it discovered what it described as a security breach with significant losses. The site claimed it could not comment during a police investigation of the estimated $16 million hack. It stayed dark and mostly silent through the rest of January and deep into February. The New Zealand exchange tried to right its ship and even briefly reopened in March, but the revival was short-lived. The exchange went into liquidation in May and 10 days later filed for bankruptcy. In March, Singapore's Dragon X reported an undisclosed amount of user funds gone, before revealing days later on Telegram that it lost $7 million. Also in March, hackers targeted South Korea's BitThumb for $13 million of the EOS token, and the exchange later learned it was missing $6.2 million in XRP from Ripple. In June, Singapore's BitTrue exchange lost $4.2 million of its users' funds. And finally, Adam, Japanese exchange BitPoint lost $28 million in a July hack that hit 50,000 users. BitPoint had to halt trading for a month. Soon after the hack, BitPoint's parent company, RemixPoint, promised to reimburse users, and trading started up again in August. The takeaway from all of this, Adam, is that these can be very, very costly for these exchanges. It raises questions on whether the crypto exchanges, which have proliferated due ostensibly to the ease of setting them up, are spending enough money on their cyber defenses to keep would-be intruders at bay. this could ultimately be a factor that could drive consolidation in the exchange industry, where some exchanges attempt to attain a larger scale to spread out the costs of cybersecurity. That in turn could ultimately reduce the number of headline-grabbing incidents that continue to reinforce perceptions of crypto markets as a lightly regulated speculative arena, where your funds are only as good as the exchange that's supposedly safeguarding them. Back to you, Adam.
Join us again on Tuesday, December 3rd, for the next Daily Markets from CoinDesk. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Adam.